Love God.
Amen.
Is it good?
Second Kings chapter 7, if you have your Bibles, Second Kings chapter 7, I ask that we stand for the reading of God's holy word, not out of respect for this preacher, but for the respect of the word of God. I'm going to read the first 9 verses. Preacher said I have till 1 o'clock. All right. So we're praising God for his goodness. Amen. It's a privilege, a joy to be in the house of God.
Amen.
Let's take a look at God's word. Then, verse 1. Then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, 2 measures of barley for a shekel, in the gate of Samaria. Then a Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? He said, Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof. Verse 3. And there were 4 leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here still here, we die also. Now therefore come, let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. And they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were coming to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, Lord, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it and came again, entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. Verse 9. Then they said one to another, We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and if we hold our peace, if we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your faithfulness, your love. We thank you for the precious blood that cleanses us from sin. Thank you for sending your dear son to die that we might have life.
Yes, thank.
And thank you, dear God, for forgiveness of sin. And Lord, the imputed righteousness through thy son, the Lord Jesus. Now, O God, we need you. Without you, O God, we are nothing. And I pray you open our hearts, open our understanding, illuminate our minds that we may receive what your spirit would have to say. And Lord, I pray you hide me behind the cross. Let me not speak one thing that does not need to be said. May I be an encouragement to your people. And Lord, maybe there's someone here that doesn't know Jesus as personal Savior. They don't know about sins forgiven. They don't know they're on their way to heaven. I'm asking today might be the day of salvation. Spirit of God, you might work in their lives. And Lord God, we'll be careful to give Jesus all the glory. For his precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. May be seated. 2 Kings chapter 6. I'm going to start reading in verse 26. Verse 24. And it came to pass after this, the Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his hosts, went up and besieged Samaria. Understanding this is the northern part of the Jerusalem, or Israel as we know it. The nation has been divided, much as the nation has fallen in sin. God never allows Israel to fall into the hand of the enemy until they themselves have made a choice to not follow him.
Amen.
God's protection is always upon his people as they are obedient to his commands. As soon as they remove that thought of obedience, God allows the enemy territory. And that's what happens here. Verse 25, there was a great famine in Samaria. And behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for fourscore pieces of silver. And the dung, and the fourth part of a dung, cab of dung, dove's dung, for 5 pieces of silver. How many know what an ass's head is used for? No clue, right? You see, it is the waste of the animal. A donkey was never to be eaten, never to be partaken as a holy animal. I don't know if the Lord allows, we may preach about the ox this afternoon. But the donkey was that unclean creature. But in the old days, when the ass was killed, they would take the brains of that donkey and they would apply it upon the cowhide, horse hide, goat hide. It would make it supple, soft. Thus you have good leather. It doesn't dry up when you use it. And the Bible says here, they're taking that waste and they're selling it for food. How many ever gone through a famine? I visited South India back in September 2001. And there, they are going through a 7-year famine. No rain. I cannot imagine that. 1988, I was growing up in the state of Wisconsin, and I remember what a drought was. We lost our crops. What you put in the ground, it never grew. It was a sad situation. But I cannot imagine a situation where a famine comes. My grandfather used to tell about the famine, the Dust Bowls, and the Depression time. He used to work for 50 cents a day. You go to the market, there was nothing to buy. You see, there was no supply. There was no income. There are no resources. So here we go. A cab of dove's dung. Waste. Sold for 5 pieces of silver. Yesterday we were coming back from the park. I was hungry. We've been walking and walking and walking. We'd had a great breakfast. And I want to say thank you, church, for that breakfast. But I got hungry. And every time I'd see a little shop that said snacks, fruit, vegetables. I love these Amish food. Along the way, you see these signs. My wife's like, can't you wait? So often we think we need something right now. But here there's a situation. They're eating the waste of the land. There's 2 women involved. Verse 26. And the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall. There cried a woman of Judah, saying, help, my lord, O king. And he said, if the Lord do not help thee, when shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor or out of the wine press? Both are dry. The barn floor is the place of supply. The wine press is the place of joy. Both are dry. I don't know about you, but there comes a time in our spiritual life when the barn is empty. And all of a sudden we begin and we think we're hungry and we cannot satisfy. We get that dryness in our life. Then there's that point where there's no joy in the Christian life. The wine press is empty. Both are empty. Every form of supply is gone. And the king said unto her, what aileth thee? What's your problem, woman? And she answered, this woman said unto me, give me thy son, and we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. Really? Talk about depravity, right? Really? Talk about moral corruption. We have fallen. And I want to say to you this morning, folks, the United States of America has fallen.
Yes, yes, sir.
We have come to the point where life has no value. We have come to the understanding that life has no meaning. There's no purpose. Our students are told in college that embryo is just a piece of tissue that's in the womb. It's just like having an operation for a tumor. No, my friend, that's life given by God.
Yes, that's right.
And that we take it without any thought. He says in verse 29, "So we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her on the next day, give thy son that we may eat him. And she hath hid her son." She's not caring about retribution. She's not caring about morality. She's not caring about life. You know what she's caring about? Equality. I gave my share. Now I want my share. You know what America teaches? Everything's got to be fair. Mm-hmm. Can I tell you what? And I tell my kids this over and over. Life is not fair. Suck it up and get over it. Life's not fair. We deserve nothing but an eternal hell. We deserve nothing but eternal condemnation. Where do we get off the thing? Somebody owes us something. She says, I want a son so that I can eat because I ate your son. We ate mine. Equality is not what it's about, folks. Don't you teach your kids about equality. Teach them what is mercy. We need God's mercy. It came to pass when the king heard the words of the woman that he rent his clothes, passed by upon the wall, and the people looked, behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh, a sign of false humility. Because he had no change of heart. I used to tell my girls, when they used to get an attitude once in a while, I said, go change your clothes. That's right. Go change your clothes. There's got to be just an attitude adjustment sometimes. But this man, he was willing to shed the outside, but he wasn't willing to change the inside.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
He was willing to put on a show to the world that I am really struggling for my nation. I am sorry for the condition we are fallen. But he really wasn't changing his heart. I'm afraid that's the way most of us are.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. I was preaching in Kerala, in South India. We had landed into the country in August of 2001. Our daughter turned 2 on the field just a few days later. And so about a week later, maybe 2 weeks later, I got word that our container that we had shipped in July had arrived to the port of Cochin. That is the northern part of the state, about 5 hours from where we were staying. So I traveled, I left my family, my wife and 2 kids, foreign country, neither one, and none of us could speak the language. I left them there and I traveled 5 hours to try to get our container. Of course, if you know anything about third world countries, nothing happens overnight. Instead of being a one-day process, it took me 4 days to try to get this container released. It was my stuff. We'd already paid the tax, everything done. All we're supposed to do is get a key and go. But no, somebody else opened it, emptied all of our stuff all over the big old warehouse. It was a mess. So I walked in. And I was preaching each night. The guy was helping me up there, translating for me. He was explaining the things. He said, well, daytime we can't do it. Nighttime we can't do anything. So will you preach in my church? I said, sure. So I was preaching each night. 4 nights I preached. On the 4th night, a girl that had been a rebel in her home walked away from home, walked away from God. Parents have been praying for her for years. She happened to come home that night, and I preached a message on 1 Samuel chapter 3. And that girl came forward with a broken heart, realizing who she was, a sinner. Trusted Jesus Christ that night.
Amen.
I praise God for his goodness and his faithfulness. I went back out, and I was trying to call the U.S., trying to call the moving company, the container company. All the phone lines were down. There was nothing going out of the country. And the guy in the telephone booth was telling, oh, don't you know what happened? Don't you know what happened? America has been terrorized. It was 9/11. I just got done preaching. 4 days, 12 souls got saved. I want to tell you something. God sends judgment on a nation who forgets God. Mm-hmm. Don't you blame those Muslims. Mm-hmm. Don't you blame the airlines. I blame God's judgment upon the churches of America.
Amen.
Right. Why? We have failed to live a holy
life.
Yes,
sir.
Same way with this king. He's blaming others for the sin in the land when the finger comes right back to us. So what happens? Sad part is, he wears sackcloth upon his flesh and he makes a threat to the man of God, verse 31. Then he said, go, God, do so more also to me if the head of Elisha the son of Shaphat shall stand on him this day. But Elisha sat in his house, and the elders sat with him. And the king sent a man before him. But ere the message came to him, he said to the elders, see ye how this son of a murderer has sent to take away my head? Look, when the messenger come, I shut the door and hold him fast at the door. Is not the sound of his master's feet behind him? We begin to blame a lot of people, don't we? But he's just a messenger. Are we listening? Are we taking heed? I say, Lord, the problem is mine. And while he had talked with him, behold, the messenger came down unto him, and he said, behold, this evil is the Lord. What should I wait for the Lord any longer? God is going to send judgment, folks. Whether we like it, whether we don't like it. And Elisha then makes a prophecy in verse 1. Tomorrow, about this time, shall a measure of fine flour, the best flour in the land, which was not available, is going to be sold in the gate of Samaria for just a little pittance of money. Remember how much we were paying for food before? You remember what that people were eating? The dung? But tomorrow, about this time, everything's going to be okay. If I were to say that, what would you say? Tomorrow, America's going to be great. We're going to get rid of our sodomy. We're going to get rid of our murders. We're going to get rid of the homicide. We're going to take care of our homeless. We're going to take care of our soldiers. What would you say? You'd be like that man who leans on the king's arm and says, well, only that would happen if a miracle happened from heaven, right?
Yeah.
If God opens the window. You see, there's a mockery in the land. Not only a false humility by the king, but there's a mockery in the land. And this is what bothers me today, is when the word of God is preached and the prophecies are proclaimed and the word of God is taught, we have a generation that mocks the word of God. That's what happens in verse 2. The mockery. I see this all the time. Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, can you hear the laughter? Can you hear the mocking? Can you hear him saying, look, look at this guy. Crazy, isn't he a nut? The Bible says, behold, thou shalt see with thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. The stage is set. The famine is strong. The country has fallen. And the people make a light of sin. Is that not our condition today?
Yes, sir.
And then all of a sudden we see a shift. And the man of God begins to write about four lepers. I'm not going to go into a lot of time because then the message will go on until 5 or 6 o'clock this evening. We're not going to do that. But I want to give you four simple principles and ultimately ask this question. How are we doing today, Black Creek Baptist Church? How are we doing? You see, the leper pictures the sinner, does he not?
Yes, sir.
Lost, separated, condemned, and hopeless. Is that not a leper? You see, he was not allowed to walk in the road. Separated from society. Separated from his family. when he became leprous, the disease would start somewhere on the skin, like a scab, and all of a sudden it would begin to grow. Slowly, slowly, it would begin to ooze as the infection grows. No amount of ointment, no amount of painkiller would take care of the problem. So what they would do, they would take a rag and they would wrap it and wrap it, and every day they would take that, wash the rag and put it back on. It was terrible. It was longevity, it was just indescribable. But the awfulness of it all was, they were not allowed to live at home anymore. Not allowed to walk among the community. So they would be put away in some caves, separated from the camp and away from the homes. One member of the family was allowed to come and bring their food and come to the door of the cave, and they would leave there at the door, and they were not allowed to touch that person. They would leave the food at the door and to walk away. And as they walked away, their family member would come, pick up that food and eat it. What a life of isolation. Loneliness. That was the life of a leper. They were not allowed on the main streets. If they were walking the streets, they would have to call, "Unclean! Unclean!" And everybody knew who he was. It's a life without hope. There was no medicine. I've never seen a leper. It's not much found in this country. But in India, we have leprosy. We have leprosariums where they're come and treated. And today's modern technology, modern medicine has medicine now. They can put it in remission and in many cases cure it. And I praise God for that. We prayed for a lady that had leprosy. I went and visited in that village, prayed for that family. The husband and wife of the family used to come to our church. I don't know that they ever trusted Christ, but our little boy did. But then one of the things that bothered my heart was they treated it like as nobody else could do anything for him. But I would told them, God can do something for him. And so it comes down to an intercession by Almighty God. And they said one to another, "Why sit we here until we die?" Can you imagine living at that door? And nobody came for weeks upon weeks. The relatives could not come out of the city. The gate of the city was locked because the enemy had surrounded the city. Nobody was allowed in. Nobody was allowed out. No trade, no vegetables being brought in, no dairy products being brought in, no fresh bread. How long can we live without supplies? If the city is struggling, imagine how they're struggling. No food, no contact. And usually leprosariums, there's usually anywhere from 25 to 30, sometimes up to 50 people living together. After 3 years of such miserable life, the Bible records only four remain. Can you imagine? They have no hope. You see, as they wrap that body and as the disease grows, it goes right down to the bone and destroys everything. And every day they would unwrap it, wash it, and put that filthy rag back on the skin. The Bible describes how good works as that bad. Can you imagine? How many of you will say, "Yes, I'll take that rag and I'll put it in my pocket and I'll use it for a later day"? Filthy, bloody, yellow, full of infection. And yet that's what we offer to God. God says, "I don't want your righteousness. I don't want your good works. I don't need your righteousness. They're as filthy rags." That's the rag he's talking about. So often we forget how dirty, how lonesome, how depraved that leper becomes and symbolizes us as sinners. What happens? They said, "We're not going to sit here until we die." What do? They come to the gate of the city. Nobody allowed in. Nobody allowed out. No food within, no food without. And they say to them, how long are we going to sit here? Until we die? If we say we enter into the city, then the famine is in the city. We will die in there. If we sit here, we die also. I'm going to say something. I find a lot of independent fundamental Baptist people sitting in our pews till we die.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
That's right. Exactly right.
They don't lift a finger. They don't want to help anybody else. And they just take a little plank and they sit down and they say, we're going to sit here and we're going to watch the world go around.
Yeah. But don't ask us to do anything, preacher. Don't ask us to get involved.
I got enough problems in my own life. Why should I care about anybody else?
You ever hear that attitude?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You think these people have problems?
You think they had struggles? You think they had pain?
No, they didn't.
You know what? They made a decision. We're not going to sit here till we die. We're going to waste our time. We've seen others die. We left their bodies in that cave. We came to the gate of the city. We're going to do something. That's what I like about verse 5. The Bible says they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp. They made a decision and they acted on it. That's called faith, folks. We have no hope, we have no future, but we're going to go forward.
None.
We don't have a direction, but I know God's going to do something. If you want your church to grow, folks, you know what we got to do? We have to get off our duff and we got to do something about it.
Yeah, right.
We got to start praying. We're going to start giving. We've got to start reaching. Start sharing the word of life. They rose in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And I can imagine four sick, weak, bleeding, infectious people leaning on each other. Walking as they go towards that camp. Dragging their dirty bodies that had never been washed. Wearing those filthy clothes that are full of blood and stained with infection. They made a decision where they're going. You see, so often we get enamored with our problems, we forget there is something,
yes,
somewhere we can go.
Exactly.
Satan has got us so self-centered, we've forgotten that we can get up. We can walk. We can go. They rose up in the night. Bible says they rose. Behold, they came to the othermost camp of Syria. Behold, there was no man there. God did a miracle, amen. The sound of those four weak men was the sound of battle. Was the sound of horses. That's strength, by the way. Amen.
Yeah.
Horses always picture strength. In the Bible. You see, I have learned something in life, little as much when God is in me. You see, that little step that they took, it was mighty in the sight of God.
Amen.
That forward movement they made was powerful with the hand of God. God made the sound like the sound of armies, sound of chariots, sound of horsemen. Sounds like an army coming to destroy. Who are they? Hopeless. Lost. Without a future. But they said, we're not going to sit here till we die. We're going to do something about it. They rose and fled in the twilight, the Bible says. The enemy left the camps. And I can never understand that picture. All I know, it's a miracle. But the enemy's gone. The camp is, as it were, food is being prepared. In India, we have tents upon tents when you go into the slum areas. But as you walk in, every tent has a little fire outside. All the ladies will be sitting on these little stools about this high, and they're making their vegetables, their meat, whatever they are, and making their little rotis by the fire. And I'm always imagining in my mind what would happen if an enemy were to come and all those people just up and left.
fires are burning, mm-hmm. the food is cooking, the kids are playing, everybody just leaves. Everything remained as it were.
Bible says, they came into the camp and fled for their life. When the lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent. What did they do?
Like a bunch of Baptists, they begin to eat.
Glory to God.
Yeah. I tell you what, they picked up that chicken, Kentucky Fried Chicken, and they begin to gnaw. They picked up everything they could find because for days, for months, no food. All of a sudden they got what their hearts desired, what their flesh needed. Their hunger was appeased. The Bible says, they didn't drink. They enjoyed. And they carried them silver and gold and raiment. Wow. What did they have before? What did they have? And all of a sudden they have? Everything we can dream of, everything we can work for, everything we hope for, everything we spend our life working for, all of a sudden they got it.
I'm reminded of many Christians who come from nothing. God gives them everything.
Yes, sir.
I've seen young people who come to our church and they're ashamed to come to church because they don't have even a suit jacket or a nice shirt to wear. And I've seen them, God bless them. They have nice clothes. All of a sudden they got pocket change. All of a sudden they got a new phone. All of a sudden they begin to enjoy life. All of a sudden they're putting away some money in the bank. The Bible says they went and hid it, did they not? They're taking the gold, their silver, and the raiment. They took off those dirty, filthy garments and they put on the Babylonish garments and the Syrian garments that were beautiful. Mm-hmm. When they had nothing, they were moving forward. But all of a sudden they got everything. And they're enjoying life. And so often we begin to can all we can get, can't we? Trying to collect this, trying to collect that, and I'm finding this. Prosperity is destroying spirituality.
Yes, sir.
What you have before you come to Christ, you realize you're not going to do it. And all of a sudden, God begins to bless us, increase us, encourage us. And we've forgotten the blessings of God. And they're putting away, they're eating nicely, they're enjoying life.
They begin to empty out the tents, right? Mm-hmm. We'd be doing the same thing. Don't criticize them.
Yeah.
We'd be doing the same. Even though we couldn't walk, even though we can't carry, the doctor says I'm not supposed to lift, what is it? 5 kg, how much is that? 12 pounds?
Thereabouts.
Doctor says I'm not supposed to lift 12 pounds. I tell you what, if I found that gold bar, I'd be lifting everything. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about? We get so enjoyed and enamored with life, and we begin to collect and gather and gather, and all of a sudden we forgot our limitations. Life's good, right? Things are great. Things are looking up. And all of a sudden, I don't know who was the first one or second one or third or fourth one. The Bible doesn't say, does it? Verse 9. And they said one to another, I have the feeling they came to themselves. Amen? Yeah? Remember the prodigal? The Bible says he came to himself.
Yes.
He came to an understanding. I now have everything. And the prodigal came to the realization, I have lost everything.
They came to themselves. We had nothing. But now we have everything. And they said one to another, we do not well. Black Creek Baptist Church, I've got a question for you. How are you doing? Has God blessed you? Has God increased you? Has God strengthened you? Has God saved you? Has God encouraged you? Has God put you on the right path? Taking you from the life of misery and destruction and from the miry clay, landing your feet on a solid rock.
Yes, sir. Come on. Praise the Lord.
Oh, my dear friend. God does great things, powerful things, miraculous things. God takes us from rejection. God takes us from destruction. God takes us from demonic power. God takes us from hopelessness. And all of a sudden, we got the blessings of life. And we've forgotten where we come from. We forget that others are still lost.
Yes, Lord.
You said, listen, we don't think about it. We do not well. It's a day of glad tidings. And we hold our peace. We're scared to say something. Mm-hmm. We're scared to share the joy. We're fearful what other people will think about us. Why, he's a radical. He's gone crazy. He's gone mad. And all of a sudden we just hold our peace. The Bible says, if we tarry till the morning light, remember all night light. All night God's been blessing. There's been tears in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And all of a sudden God gives that joy, that peace, that rejoicing. The Bible says some mischief will come upon us. And I underline three words in my Bible. The Bible says, now therefore come, number one, come. My Bible says in Isaiah, the Lord calls, come. Let us reason together.
Yep.
Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow.
Yeah.
Oh, dear sinner, the Bible's saying, come. Will you come today?
Yes, Lord. Yes.
He's waiting for you. He doesn't force you. But he's waiting, come. And you see, as a Christian, as a body of Christ, as a body of believers, we also have to come together in unity. And they made that decision, come. Let's join together. Let's work together. Let's stand unified. We've got a message to give. The Bible says in verse 9, that second word that I underlined, it says that we may go. Mm-hmm. Go. Isn't that a command in the Bible?
Mm-hmm.
Are we not told to go? Go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel. God told Adam to go. God told Joseph to go. God told Moses to go. God told Joshua to go. They all went. What about us? Are we going? Are we just sitting together enjoying? Us four and more and more. Mm-hmm. We're not better than anybody else. We have no greater knowledge than anybody else. We have the mercy of God. The blessing of God. The strength of God. And the power. What else do we need, folks? We can't hold our peace. They said come. They said go. Number three, they said tell. I like that. I don't know about you, but we got a story to tell to the nations.
Amen.
It's the greatest story on earth. It's Christ, the Creator God. You ask, what do I tell a Hindu? I tell there's one true God. He's Creator, He's light, He's life, He's the way. And I tell the Christ, give me the second thing. Who is Jesus Christ? You see, we have to tell who is Jesus. In our America today, we have 64% of our youth have never been inside a Bible preaching church.
Mm-hmm.
Whose fault? Yet we enjoy life. And our youth are going to hell. What are we going to do about it? Are we going to tell them who the truth is? Who God is? See, their minds are so confused, they don't even know who God is. They don't have a definition for God. They don't understand the character of God, the holiness of God, the righteousness of God. And we fail to tell them. Their perception of God is so depraved. We've got a message to tell. Then I tell them, who is Jesus? Amen?
Amen.
That's right. The Son of God.
Yes, sir.
The mediator. Between the old covenant and the new covenant, between the lost and our holy God, he's my mediator, he's yours also. We don't need religion, amen?
That's
right. I need a savior.
Amen.
We have to tell that simple message. Then thirdly, I tell them, who am I? Who am I? I'm the lost one. I'm that leper. I'm the one with hope, without hope. I'm the one in need of a savior. Do we tell the truth? Who we are? This is where many of us fail to understand who we are. We're the one in need of saving. We're the one in need of forgiveness. We're the one in need to repent. We're the one that needs to turn from our idols. We have to tell the message.
Yes.
The Bible says in verse 10, so they came. Can you imagine them, four of them coming back, dressed in clothes, carrying the gold, the silver, and they come knocking on the gate. The porter slides that little bitty security gate open. Who's there? So we're the four lepers that were here last night. Bang! Get out of here, we don't need you.
That's right.
You know what they did? They turned around and left. They left the place, right? No. We got a message. I said, get out of here. We don't need you. Keep on knocking, folks. Can you imagine the cry? Can you imagine the passion? Can you imagine the perseverance as they kept knocking? We got a message.
Oh.
There's food out there. There's life out there. There's hope out there. We found redemption. We found a way. They kept on knocking. So, well, somebody's making fun of you, right? Somebody's trying to take advantage of you. You get that phone call, and you know it's not a regular number, right? Yeah. But they somehow they use a local number, don't they?
Yeah.
Yes. And so we take it, and we find they start out with the speech. What, I just put them down? My wife, my daughter, they start speaking in Hindi. Have no clue what they're saying. But we get tired of people trying to take advantage of us, don't we?
Yeah.
That's the world we live in, folks. But that does not mean we stop the great work of God.
Yeah.
We've got a message to tell. Keep on knocking on those doors. Keep on visiting those homes. Doesn't matter how far you got to go, we've got to go. Why? There's redemption. There's peace. There's forgiveness. And there's an abundant supply. Our God shall supply all your needs. The Bible says, and they opened the gate, the people went out, and they enjoyed life. And they brought the wheat, and they brought the raiment, they brought the food and the gold. And what happened? Remember that man who made mockery of the word of God? He was in charge of the gate. The Bible says that the crowds began to pour out of the city and pour back in. It was such a tumult that he was trampled to death. He saw with his eyes, but he never tasted. My Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Have you seen God's blessings, but you never experienced it? Some of you watched other people's lives changed, but you say it's not for me. Some of you see the miracles of God and understand the depravity of sin, but you say, I'm good enough, I'm okay, I don't need it. Some of you are sitting in sin, and you realize you're a sinner like those four lepers. But you're not willing to take that step forward in faith. And say, Lord, forgive me a sin. I need your blessing today. You see, Black Creek Baptist Church, they asked a simple question. We do not well. And I ask you the simple question today. How well are you doing? How's your spiritual life? How's your spiritual future? How's your children? How's your walk with God? How's your fervency in trust? We talk about trust, don't we? But it's really not all the trust that we have. We put a little trust in God. We put a little trust in the pastor. But we don't put our full trust in Almighty God. Every head bowed and every eye closed. As the pastor comes forward, I have a question. How well are you doing today?
Has God blessed you? Or are you that leper and still sinking, still struggling, still stinking, still staying with the problems of sin? You have to come to the Lord and ask, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need a sinner.